Now, before we dive into the passage, we need to understand what the temple treasury was and how widows were viewed in that community. The widow in today's passage was in the temple, most likely in the women's court of the temple, just inside the structure, past the court of Gentiles. The widow was not in the court of priests, where the actual liturgical processes of the temple took place, for no women were allowed into that space. The treasury which people were placing their money refers most likely to the horn-shaped offering boxes in that courtyard. The temple treasury of Jesus' time consisted of 13 chests or wooden boxes with metal trumpet-shaped mouths on the top. These were placed in the women's court. 7 of the 13 contribution boxes were for collecting specific offerings to support the needs of the temple. The other 5 chests were mostly for volunteer offerings, which is likely where Jesus sat to watch people dropping their offerings through the bronze trumpet-shaped funnels. So how were widows treated back then? We know that God sees widows as precious. Widows are mentioned over 80 times in the Bible, highlighting God's concern for one of the most vulnerable social groups in ancient times. Now, a widower's brother was expected to marry a widow, for it was the duty of a widower's kin to provide a widow with children if she didn't have any. If it was not possible for a widow to remarry, it was the duty of the community to care for her. Let's dive into the passage. In verses 38 to 40, Jesus is issuing a warning to the teachers of the law. Jesus was in the temple, people watching and teaching his disciples to beware of the scribes, people who were seeking out human approval and showing off their fancy clothes and status. Their outward lifestyle provided a shocking contrast to what follows. These scribes were known to devour widows' houses, using their positions as estate trustees to cheat vulnerable poor women out of their property. Jesus condemns this sort of behaviour. In verses 40, Jesus issues a warning. They devour widows' houses and for show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely. I love the way that Jesus is a straight shooter, not mincing words here. Here Jesus promises that those who abuse spiritual authority for selfishness will receive a harsher judgment. Modern day Christians are not immune to this sort of behaviour. In 1995, Carl and I backpacked around Southeast Asia for 6 weeks. We visited countries like Thailand, Laos, and Cambodia. It was a pretty bold move on our part to visit Cambodia. A year earlier, an Australian by the name of David Wilson had been murdered by the Khmer Rouge. Before we left for this trip, I was asked by a Christian organisation to visit a couple of projects in Thailand and Cambodia. It is always so wonderful to see God at work in the most difficult and harsh circumstances. One of the projects we visited was an orphanage. The two missionaries who were running the orphanage took us out for lunch the day we visited. During the conversation, one of the missionaries mentioned that they were thinking about bringing couples from the US to adopt children. As a young, inexperienced 25-year-old, I thought this was a strange thing to say. We left and continued on our adventure. When I arrived back in Melbourne, I met with the Christian organisation to let them know about our experiences. The person responsible for the Southeast Asia missionaries asked me what I thought of the orphanage. I mentioned that the missionaries had talked about bringing couples from the US to adopt children. What occurred over the coming weeks was an investigation into what those two Christian missionaries were doing with overseas adoptions. They were charging couples to adopt children and taking a significant cut for themselves. This passage is a warning to maintain integrity and for believers to be cautious of teachers who seek personal wealth or glory rather than serving God and others. Now we're getting to the best bit of the passage, the widow's offering. Jesus called his disciples over for an important teaching moment. This widow's offering of two small coins was worth much more than all the hefty, loud coins. Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. Many people were making offerings, but this widow made a sacrifice to God beyond her duty, without the possibility of people's praises, without the pressure of eyes watching. She laid down a sacrifice that cost everything she had. While many rich people dropped large offerings, they would loudly clink the metal trumpets. The poor widow's two copper coins were probably too lightweight to be fully heard. Nevertheless, Jesus saw and heard all of her offering. The woman was under no obligation to offer it. This was a voluntary offering after all. How generous are you feeling this morning? The widow's sacrificial offering points us toward the sacrifice Jesus models for us. In the book of John, in chapter 10, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd and says, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." We know that Jesus offered himself willingly. He spared nothing, and it cost him everything. By shining a light on the unnamed widow's generosity, Jesus reminds us that what is most important to God is not the quantity of the gift, but the generosity of the one doing the giving. In contrast, this widow gave an offering that resounded louder than the heaps of coins dropped into the treasury by others. In the same way, we are encouraged to give of ourselves in a way that makes an impact, even if others never see us give. Let me tell you a story. A number of years ago, on a quiet Monday morning, our treasurer called and asked me to check with one of the parishioners in our church to see if she accidentally wrote an extra zero on her offering check. Should it be $80 instead of $800? We will hold the check until you double check with her. the treasurer told me. The parishioner who had made the offering was a widow with children to support and not loads of extra income. Therefore, the church was worried about her and willing to give back her offering check. When I called to check with the woman, she told me it was not a mistake. She intended to offer $800. She explained that she heard we needed to fix the church building and felt led to offer that amount. Still, I refused to hang up. "But are you sure?" I asked. She laughed and said, "Really, it's fine. I'm very happy to offer it. God is my provider." When I hung up, I was left wondering. Out of poverty, this widow gave with a mindset of abundance and generosity, while others, myself included, give with a mindset of poverty. I'm wondering, how generous are you feeling this morning? Jesus sees each of you here today. This passage proves that no one is too poor or too small to be a kingdom builder. This widow foreshadows Jesus' sacrifice for us. Just as she gave her whole life, all she had to live on, Jesus was about to give his whole life on the cross. I'm wondering, are you all in? Are you ready to be generous in all parts of your life? Generosity is a spiritual discipline, not a financial transaction. A generous heart looks at the one who provides us with all we need and exactly what we need. As we recognize our God as the one who provides everything, possessions and time and energy, love and all of who we are, we need to grow in our trust with all that he provides. The poor widow walked into the women's court. She quietly offered her whole life, knowing it was not a religious requirement, knowing she would receive no praise in return, knowing her offering was insignificant in monetary value, and knowing her limited ability and her poverty. Yet, she offered it all anyway. Are you willing to do this? Are you willing to be generous like the widow? There are three lessons we can learn from this passage today. Lesson one, God sees your sacrifice. There may be times when you feel as if God is completely oblivious to the real cost of your generosity. He looks through the crowd and notices you. When your giving seems insignificant compared to others, you don't need to worry. God sees your sacrifice. The amount sacrificed supersedes the amount given. Sorry, I'll go back. Lesson two. The amount sacrificed supersedes the amount given. A person can give numerically significant amount of money, but numbers do not matter to God. He owns it all anyway. Lesson three. Biblical generosity requires trust in God's promises. The easiest thing for the widow to do was to hold off on giving. And no one would have blamed her. She needed those two coins. But the widow opted for obedience instead. She put God first in her finances. Finally, if the widow could trust God with her last two coins, we can trust him with our future. Amen.